Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics such as
the one and only Shiv Roy. You know, I just had a little rewatch session of all of Succession, and like, you know, Miss Shiv was like ready to have a third in the bedroom. Like, she wanted that girl there, you know what I'm saying? Like, she was more than ready. So I'm just saying, make that happen, you know, now that, oh, you know what, let me not go there, spoiler alert. Corona.
What's poppin', chingona? Merry Chrysler. Was good.
Happy crema.
Happy crema. yeah, like Merry Christmas to people who celebrate, and happy non-denominational holiday season to everyone else.
Happy late Hanukkah to my people.
Yes, yeah. Happy Kwanzaa coming up. Merry Jesus Day and Happy New Year and all that shit. This is the last episode of the year for us. So yeah. We made it another year.
Yep. Oh my God, it's been so cold. Like,
yeah, and I feel like, wait, what do you mean? Like actually cold in LA?
Yeah, but here's the thing.
Okay.
50 degrees in LA feels like 20 degrees anywhere else. Okay, like it hits different down here. Like, it's just that it's cold. Okay,
I think it's because you're right next to the ocean. I think like it's drier landscape, so like it's a dry cold and you're used to a humid cold over here in Texas where we're at. So it's
could
a different
be.
Vibe
could be
it's a different feeling. I mean, meanwhile, I think it's like snowing in like Utah and Colorado right now, and you're just like, I'm cold at 50 degrees.
I mean, look, it's snowing only like an hour and a half away, you know, in the mountains. Like,
that's true.
Got some snowy peaks up here now.
Okay, so. Okay, winter wonderland ass over there.
Looking at.
Yeah. Looking at, like, over here ain't shit. It's hot. It's like 70 degrees. And
what the hell?
Yeah, the world's ending, very obviously.
Yeah, when I'm cold and you're warm in the winter. Yeah, very odd.
Yeah, they said that there might be like a tornado that also is a blizzard somewhere
fun.
In America. So you know what?
You
know
the
what?
Most fun.
Yeah, like Earth is going to live strong and on, and we will not be here for
we
much
will not
longer
experience it firsthand, but it's happening. Yeah
it's happening as we speak. But you know, anyways, on to like happier topics other than global warming ending us. So what have you been watching, or like what's
God,
your banter?
I blame you. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I watched all of Tampa Bay's
isn't it bingeable?
It is, yeah. I started it yesterday and I finished, so.
Yeah.
I would say so.
Oh, okay, my now I have God. To ask you, I have to ask you, isn't it just Bad Girls Club, but like gay girls?
Yeah, gay, mostly white girls. Yeah, like, Jesus.
Like, yeah.
Some of the stuff, I'm like, I have to look back at this shit and just be like, wow, I'm a dumbass. Like, I feel so bad for them watching themselves back, you know? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like there's like this divide that the producers made that you're either on one side or the other. And I'm like, frankly, I think her name's Jordan, that she's just like in the middle and minding her business. And one of them goes to therapy and I'm just like, wow,
Mel,
you're healthy.
And Cuppy.
Cuppy. Wait, Cuppy is the microbiologist, right?
I don't know. She was a nurse. And I
she's
think
the
she
nurse.
Was at a bar.
Okay, she's the baddie who goes to therapy. So shout out to her. I love Cuppy. She's the best.
Yeah.
She's unproblematic.
Cuppy's
she just
cool.
wants to have a good time. And you know what? You know what, Maitha? She's a Virgo.
I think that's what I, like, I think she said that in her first episode. And I was like, nope, none of that. None of that smoke for me.
And even though she's the healthy one.
Yeah.
She has, like, great, like, no, I don't want you. No, I don't want you.
But
no,
she
I
wasn't,
told you.
Though. Low-key, she was a lot like this girl that I talked to back in high school who was very, mm-hmm. like, we're just friends, and then kisses you. Like, I know exactly who that person is.
Yeah, I guess, Cuppy is a complicated... I mean, she's not, because she's stating this isn't more than what it is, you know? But, and then other people are like, no, but it is more. And it's like, no, lesbian. I'm sorry, yeah. Gay. It doesn't work that way. But yeah, isn't it just a hot fucking mess? I mean, I know it's problematic, yada, yada, yada. I understand. But if I want to see anyone be problematic, it is white lesbians, because they are made different. And, you know, it wouldn't be so much fun if it was like oppression, you know, like the yeah. haunting idea of oppression looming in the background. I mean, it's obviously in this too, obviously, but in a different way. So what did you think? Did you super like
know.
It?
I don't know what I expected, like, because it's in Florida, right? Like, I should have expected what it was. Because it's Florida.
Florida activities. Yeah. Florida activities. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, it was fun. I'll say that. It was a fun watch. For a little random lesbian Amazon Prime reality TV series. What I really wanted was a reality TV series, you know, because I was running out. And yeah, it hit the spot, you know what I mean? I can't wait for season two if there is one.
I'm hype. I can't wait for season two as well. And again, that's on Amazon Prime, y'all. So Jeff Bezos has given us the gays something to distract us with.
So fucking random. And I've also been watching Hawkeye. Have you heard of that?
Oh, say that again?
Hawkeye.
Oh, I heard not so good things, but you know, it's always dudes that hate the female-led Marvel shit. So what do you think?
I think it's one of the best Marvel shows that have come out. Like, I think it's great. I haven't seen the latest episode. I think the latest episode pissed off the lesbians, so I don't know why yet. But so far, I found it to be hilarious and, yeah, just great.
Oh wow. Okay, I'm probably going to watch it at some point. I mean, I always say that and then I end up binge watching what you're talking about today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I really like that. Oh, I will have you know, I did start Acapulco and it is very cute.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
How far did you get? Like an episode?
I think I'm on episode 2 in the middle and then
Are you getting the vibes immediately on the queer shit?
On his best friend?
No.
Oh. No, I am not getting the queer vibes other than his best friend.
Okay, keep watching.
Okay.
I feel like I got the vibes right away when I saw it, but yeah.
Really?
It's really, really good.
Okay, I'm interested.
You'll hear about it next year, everybody.
Yeah, next year we'll have something to pair with it better than no offense to Weddles, which I did watch like half of it before I got busy with life, and then Weddles is like this 2014 like Mexican indie art student film.
I didn't know that was that old.
Yeah, I didn't either. I had to look it up because I was just like, what the fuck am I watching? This looks very experimental. And honestly, it's kind of like hard to review just because there's so many things, especially what I'm going to be talking about, that follows like a plot and has like really good dramatic acting. And, you know, that's like anti what I'm talking today, you know, like it was very student artsy fartsy and kind of pretentious, of course, and in black and white. And but it was okay. It was just talking about things that maybe I need more clarification on in modern day Mexico, and about the student protest in Mexico City and how intense and how true that movement is. But I need to do more research before I start talking about something I don't know shit about. So
yeah.
And so I didn't think I'd be able to do it justice in 24 hours of like, okay, like,
yeah,
no. No, that's kind of wrong to what, because protesting in Mexico and protesting in the U.S., you know, honestly, they're almost about the same.
Both
but
have
in Mexico,
their issues, yeah.
They're both very problematic and fucked up, but at least over here, they just take away your right to vote for the rest of your life and try to ruin you, like, you can't get a job. But in Mexico, they'll just kill you, so, and your family.
They disappear you.
They disappear you, your family, your brother, your sister, your mom, your grandma, and then you hear a politician that hates you read out the names of everyone in your family and the address of where they live. And that's when you realize protesting in Mexico is a different vibe. So shout out to everybody out there. I'm not going to talk on something or disrespect y'all. Y'all really wild. And
yeah.
That's, yeah. But anyways. So Christmas, how will you be celebrating? If you'd like to tell the class, if not, that's cool too.
Well, last week I got my booster shot. It knocked me the fuck out. But, you know, I feel better about going home for the holidays, at least.
Yeah.
So, it'll be fun. I already have like, I feel like a shit ton to do for like within 2 weeks that I'm in Texas, but I'm looking forward to it. What about you?
Same. I'm taking, hopefully if it doesn't snow somewhere on the road, me and Glo are taking a trip to the Grand Canyon and then Vegas for like a day. But so I'm really excited. Yeah, it's random, but you know, it's not, I don't know. I've always wanted to go with her, so it's gonna be exciting. But I'm missing out on the tamale making this year, so I feel like a bad Mexican daughter, but it's fine. I'm learning to be a bad Mexican daughter sometimes, and it's okay.
I am not your perfect Mexican daughter. I'm doing the opposite, bro. My mom is like, oh, I want to go to San Antonio, so apparently I'm taking her to San Antonio.
you're on your perfect Mexican daughter for vibe for 2 weeks. Yeah. I understand. Because you're the new favorite. I understand. I'm the
new favorite, yeah. He knows a lot of responsibility. Shit.
It's a lot of work, dude. I think I've fallen from grace by not making tamales this year because, you know, it's that easy, you know, just decline one thing and it's over for you. But, I'm really excited for Christmas, for Noche Buena, for New Year's, for my birthday sprinkled
the
in
days
there.
Off of work, which is, that's what we're really looking forward to.
That's what it really is. It's not working for a week and a half. It's just everything that I've
chef's
wanted.
Fucking kiss, bro.
I'm gonna play Pokemon for 7 hours and be left alone. I can't wait, dude. I'm so excited. Watch Acapulco, watch everything.
Watch Finally. Functional season 2 officially out now.
Yes.
The premiere party was on Friday, and they played a bunch of episodes at the premiere, including the one that I was in. So I wasn't expecting to see myself on the screen, and then I did, and it was like a weird, crazy feeling, you know, but I was really glad to see it.
You're like, Mom, I made it.
I don't know, and it was just really nice to see everyone, right? Because you're not exactly in a hurry to go out and like see people in person these days, so seeing everybody was great.
Yeah, I did notice that, like, the pandemic is very much not over, but in Texas, it feels like everything's gone back to mostly normal, but except, like, me and, like, regular people who are like, okay, I'll see you. Okay, now I won't. You know, like, once you get, like, I went into the office and immediately got a sore throat, and I was just like, it's the end. God. I'm going to die. But I was like, it's fine. It went away. I got the boosty, too. Everybody go get that boosty. Go get the first one if you haven't gotten it, you know. No judgment, just go get it, you know. If you made it this long, think of how much longer you'll make it if you get the fucking shot and then get the boosty.
Yeah, I'm getting over being offended that COVID never got me, but like, whatever. Like,
wait,
I can't get shows anywhere, man. Like,
you can't get shows, not even by the pandemic. My god, damn.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, dude, like, knock on wood, dude, just like, whatever, we don't know, it's not over. Omarion is very much on our ass, you know, so and they don't know how he's doing
over what he did to us in the 90s or 2000s, whatever that
B2K
was.
B2K,
Y2K, whatever it is.
Y2K, B2K. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what else I've watched other than what we're going to be talking about today, which I'm super hype about what you're talking about, by the way.
I'm pretty
excited about what I'm talking about, just because it's like Halle Berry is back, and people need to give
Bruised?
Yes, did you see Bruised?
I watched it yesterday, yeah. I did. I wanted to be prepared.
Yes.
So yeah, I'm excited to talk about them too. Both of these things just came out, huh?
Correct. That's wild. They just came out. I feel like the end of the year is kind of like piling on where there's like better shit coming out. I don't know.
Well, yeah, because Oscar season.
They need something, right?
Yeah, everybody's just like pushing it out. I'm like, please chill out. but yeah.
Yeah.
Which one came out first? I actually don't know.
Hold please. I feel like Bruised came out during Thanksgiving and Harlem came out
December 3rd. Yeah.
So we can go ahead and start with Bruised. Okay, so if you didn't know, now you know. Today I'm going to be covering Bruised. And Maite, what will you be covering?
I'm covering Harlem.
Hey.
So good. Yeah.
So good. So good. And I guess I'll go first because Bruised came out first. So Bruised stars Halle Berry. She's playing this like washed up MMA fighter. And she's supposed to be like, is I think her actual age. I think she's like 50 something right now, which, wow, Halle Berry's in her 50s. I can't believe it. So she's a disgraced fighter trying to go back into fighting, kind of forced back into the MMA scene because her long lost abandoned son comes back, circumstance makes her a mature grown up, or on her way to becoming the mature grown up version of herself in this. But just to touch on this movie, it's I feel like Halle Berry is acting her ass off. I feel like she hasn't gotten any roles, because I feel like most women, after they win an Oscar, they kind of, unless you're Meryl Streep, even Meryl Streep suffered her, for a while. Yeah, like, there's this curse. Like, if you get the Oscar, you're not really going to get any roles anymore, because they said, well, you already won one. We're over you. Next. But Halle Berry is very much going the Reese Witherspoon route. She said, fuck it. I'm going to just start making my own shit and put myself in it, because y'all don't seem to respect women, or especially older women in Hollywood. So oh, yeah, shout out to
this.
Yes, this is her directorial
debut. Yeah,
debut. Ooh, I can't say that five times. And it was written by Michelle Rosenfarb, who originally made this for like a 20 something white Irish Catholic girl. And I like that Halle Berry said, "Fuck that." I'm so, gonna. You know,
how about me though?
Yeah, and she's like, honestly, I'm actually the better actor, so this was made for me, because I can do anything. And she's very much proving that in this movie, because, wow, I mean, she actually learned to fight. She actually learned MMA moves, which I'm just kind of, like, in shock. And I'm not really big on MMA, but shout out to her. But as I will give her a trigger warning before I get into the rest of this, is that if you have any domestic abuse trauma and you don't want to watch that, don't watch this. On a scale of 1 to, like, I don't know, broken face, broken nose, blood everywhere, like, you just, it's super violent. You don't want to watch it if, like, that's not your thing. If trauma's not your thing, I understand. But also, Halle Berry said that she was pulling for a lot of, like, a personal, her own generational trauma for this movie. And you'll see that because she does have an abusive manager slash boyfriend who, for a good part of the movie, I didn't know where this movie was going to go with that, because I thought I was watching one movie. And I feel like you get, like, 5 different things in this movie, 5 different storylines, and they don't feel rushed. There's this storyline with her and her long lost son, who she suddenly gets back, and then he has his own complete story that he could be his own movie at this point. There's one movie between Halle Berry and her abusive manager. There's another movie between Halle Berry and her abusive mother. The through line is just abuse, and if you don't want to watch that, again, don't. But I feel like Halle Berry said it herself that she was facing a lot of her own trauma and dealing with it the way I guess artists do, is, you know, they make movies. And an interesting thing about this is that at the very beginning of this movie, she actually had to endure very real physical trauma. She broke a rib right at the beginning of this movie.
I'm not surprised, like, at all. The amount of stunts, the amount of, like, physicality, like, mm-hmm. It was really intense. I can see why you like it, too. You're such an action movie person.
I am. But, I mean, you're a fighter. You know.
Yeah,
you're
but a fighter, I did it, like, well. That was internally good for me. Like, seeing it on screen is, like, a little less interesting to me.
I gotcha. Yeah, so... She broke a rib. She didn't stop production. She said, fuck it, I'm just going to work this whole movie with a broken rib. And that's what happened. She could really easily
channel that pain because she was in pain. Yeah.
She didn't need to. Yeah, she was literally in pain this entire time. Real trauma. She broke her rib at the very beginning and decided to just keep right on going, because, as we know, it's really stupid hard to make a movie. And she said she would have had to miss out on this opportunity since she was financing it. And she's like, nope, can't lose the money. Gonna do it anyways. And the reason we're covering it is because Halle Berry's fully back, acting her ass off. And it's also gay a little, you know?
A little gay in there.
It's hella gay. And she's the only not fucked up character other than the child in this movie. She's one of the few characters that doesn't hurt her feelings, and so we're super there for her. And it's it comes in by way of a trainer named Buddha. Is it Buddha? Budokan. Yeah. And she's Budokan is played by Sheila Atim, a wonderful actress. You know,
like
chef's
the most
kiss
British
her.
Person you ever heard. It threw me off a little bit. I'm not gonna lie. Like, she was so British. Like,
British in it?
British as fuck, you know what I mean? So sometimes I was just like, okay.
You're like, wait a minute, where am I? I don't understand you. Where are the subtitles?
It threw me off a little bit.
Really?
Just a little bit, yeah. Just
so,
I don't know.
No, you're good.
Yeah, she just, like, I don't know, like, I'd be watching it and it'd be like, everyone is like American with their American accents and like, they're all hard and they're all like tough guys and they're all like, you know, so in that scene, like, you know, like, I don't know, like, I'm a badass and shit. And then she comes in and she's just like, hello, mate. Like,
and then, you know, she's like the most like hippie too. She's like, let's meditate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we might fight, but we meditate. And I feel like it was very much taking from like different kind of fight movies that are all my favorite, you know, like, so it was very Million Dollar Baby. It was taking from like woman
Rocky
fighter overcoming.
The montage, yeah. You know?
Yeah. But then at the same time, it was very like, here is your spiritual guide. And I love that, like, the
literally
main
Buddha.
Leads. literally called Budokan. And I'm just like, okay, I want to know. I feel like every character is like a fleshed out person, though. This thing about the writing in this is that I'm actually like, whoa, everyone's a person. They're not just like side characters. Like, and that's just Halle Berry's attention to detail, too, for, like, she's like, I saw this script, I saw it was fucking good, I fucking made it. And I just, props to her. A lot of the movie is about her training, overcoming all of the abuse in her life in order to become a somewhat stable human being outside of the ring. It kind of takes on that trope that, like, the fighter is a fighter and that's kind of it. They kind of can't do anything else, you know? It's very, what I really enjoyed is that Halle Berry really took it there, and I can see the 2.5 years of training, because as she said, you know, she was just trained like a fighter already. Like, she's trained to just like keep going. And so when you think the violence is gonna pull away, it doesn't. It keeps going there, and I thought that was like an interesting take. It didn't necessarily have to be that violent, but I get it. Halle Berry's doing what she needs to do, I guess, you know, to keep, I think maybe that's how she was trying to make it as universal as possible, because it's very niche, but it still ended up in like the top at Netflix. So, and they gave her a deal off of it. So shout out to Halle Berry, because again, this is basically the We're Just in Love and We Love Halle Berry episode. I'm trying to think of, like, there is this very, very specific scene with her and her son. And she's, I don't know, the scenes between her and her son in this movie, I feel like they had enough emotional pull so that I was interested, but maybe there wasn't enough there. I feel like maybe that could have been explored better. But I mean, that's kind of my only complaint. Maybe scale back the violence a little, because dear God, it feels like she couldn't go like 5 minutes without something horrible happening to her in her personal and private life. Well, meanwhile, in the ring, she's just a baddie. She's capable and she's strong and she's powerful. And I think it's super cool to see like Black women fighting and not being seen as like, you know, there's so many stereotypes. And I feel like Halle Berry didn't really like buy into any of that shit. But it was very traumatic in the like same way that Venena was traumatic. Like, literally every episode something horrible was happening, and sometimes in this movie it was just kind of like, oh god, here we go again, it's gonna be all of the trauma. So other than the really, really heavy subject matter that's in this movie, There are like moments of like, you know, cuteness between her and her son, and also her and her unexpected love interest with Budokan, which I was all for that. I was like, finally, Halle Berry's giving us gay Halle Berry. Bisexual Halle Berry energy is like my favorite this year. So give it to you. What did you think about this movie?
I will say, I don't know. I don't think it was for me. Like, it okay. didn't draw me in for a long time. And I was pretty distracted when I was watching it. But yeah, it didn't draw me in. But I will have to give props to, like, the vibes between Budokan and Halle Berry's character. Because, like, even when they're training beforehand, you know, there's, like, the chemistry there. And, like, the, I don't know, they had these, like, fighting training sessions. And, like, you know, physically, like, they're connecting. You see it. So I have to give a lot of props to their acting there. And, like, the lead up to it. And, like, even the conversations afterwards and stuff, like... Yeah, like, it hit, for sure. Mm-hmm. As much as, like, Budokan's, like, character and the way that she spoke would always completely throw me off. Just would throw me away. I can't. And then some of the dialogue between the mom and the son, like, was kind of, like, cheesy a bit.
Yeah.
I didn't yes. love some of the stuff. But the kid was so charismatic. I thought he was adorable. I thought he was even a great actor, even though he didn't speak.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, the mom trauma was real. That stuff hit pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, like, I was just the least interested in, like, her relationship with Homeboy. Like, and oh, that's, God. Like, I'm the just first waiting chunk of end. The movie. Yeah. And it's, like, the first chunk of the movie, and I was just, like, over it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and we're meant to be the fuck over it, but I really felt like he stayed in that plot for a lot longer than I thought he would. You know, I thought that would have been handled quicker.
He could have been out of it way faster and it wouldn't have hurt the movie, yeah.
No, I wouldn't. I don't think so. I think it made it more like, man, this character is really struggling and now I, like, feel horrible. But it does give Halle Berry the opportunity to show off and be like, well, look, like, this isn't reality. Look how much I got you to believe this was reality. So I give her that. Like, if she's not nominated for something, they just hate women. Because honestly, a return, like, Halle Berry is just crying on cue. I mean, we know she's actually in a lot of pain. So that was kind of easy to channel. But I mean, knowing that she was like, she could potentially puncture a lung just to give us, like, good content. If y'all don't give her a fucking Oscar again, which I don't know if they will because, they're racist.
I don't see the potential in the movie getting enough attention, but you never know. Maybe.
I mean, you know, it got her enough attention to get a deal with Netflix, so maybe, but I don't know if the Academy will acknowledge something that came out on Netflix, even though they should.
They haven't since, like, Roma.
Yeah, that was like the last time, and it pissed off a lot
of
people.
And maybe
the
first time, too.
Yeah, first and last time. And a lot of them were upset, you know? That's when that Green Book thing came out. You know, shout out to Mahershala for winning, but that movie was horrible. And if you watched it, I'm giving you the side eye, you know?
Well, you know, one last thing about Bruised and Netflix, it reminded me a lot of a show that came out earlier this year called The Maid. And which got a lot of flack because it was called The Maid and it was about a white woman who cleaned houses.
Yeah. No, I tried and I was just like, what? No.
I don't know. I guess it was because my roommate was really into the show and was sort of pushing me to watch it. So I watched it all. But it had that same vibe of like, no matter what this woman does, some shit just continues to come her way. Yeah. She keeps having to go through it. Everything for her kid. Type of vibe. You know, I actually didn't hate the show and like I understand the judgments and I agree with them, but yeah, it's just like
it wasn't bad. It wasn't like it just maybe wasn't the story we needed right now.
Like yeah, it was a little bit like why? But then I was just kind of like it's a good story though. Like can't fault it. Like the acting was good. The whole time you're like what the fuck?
Why? Yeah, you're just like, why? Who? What is this?
Yeah.
Did we need it?
Like, of course, it highlights the really broken ass system that we have when in place for domestic abuse and in general. So, yeah, it reminded me of that quite a bit.
Yeah, I can see that. And I feel like Bruised is kind of just, I liked it for what it was. I didn't overthink it very hard. I was just like, Halle Berry's acting her ass off. There's parts of this that don't work, obviously, but there's parts of this where I'm just like amazed at her, basically. I was just so happy to see her in something and see her lead it and to see her direct it and to see, you know, badass women, you know, making
shit.
She's
my Catwoman, always.
Yeah, always. Forever she's Catwoman, you know? And so, I don't know. I love this for her, and I hope she keeps making cool shit, and I hope she also gets a stack like Reese Witherspoon did for selling her production company. And I hope all women that aren't amazing actresses go out there and just start making it for themselves, because they're honestly more of this Halle Berry. And you know, Reese Witherspoon didn't start off, you know, in everything and directing and stuff, maybe just executive producing, but you know, shout out to her. I give this like 4.5 panduces. I had to take off the half panduce because of the trauma and the man. It was a lot of man, and motherfucker didn't want to wear a shirt, and I'm like, Halle Berry girl, I can't. But 4.5 panduces, I would maybe watch it again. I'll skip the first half. Anything to watch Halle Berry fight at the end. Oh my god, the fight scenes are real, y'all.
Yeah, if you're a big MMA fan, I would skip to like the last chunk of the movie where it's like the longest fight sequence in the fucking world.
You're actually watching the fight.
Yeah, you're actually watching it like you're watching a fight. I mean, you can, like, if you're paying that much attention, like, yeah, you can tell, like, they're not really fucking hitting each other. But yeah, it's still really good.
Yeah, if you just, like, form, if you just appreciate form, you're gonna love it. So, I loved it. But anyways, on to less traumatic things and more happy things.
I mean, this is a little traumatic, too, but we'll talk about it.
Oh, God. I know why. Oh, yeah.
Have you, you've seen it all?
Of course, yeah, I binged it.
Cool. yeah, so Harlem just came out December 3rd on Amazon Prime. It was created by Tracy Oliver. You might know her from Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl, yes, aka the web series that preceded Insecure. She acted in that, but from what I've seen, she's done a lot of writing for TV and film since then. This particular piece, which is like hers, like in every sense of the word, is her best work yet, in my humble opinion.
She's
done something incredible. So Harlem is a half hour dramedy about love and the careers of four black women. The main one I would say is Camille, who's played by Megan Good, and when I saw her, I was immediately like, okay, IMDb, let's go, because I knew that I knew her from something. Debs.
Oh my, yes.
Yeah,
she's
Debs.
Been in everything, dude.
And
she's
in, yeah, and a bunch of other
huge
shit.
Part. Yes.
But Debs, you know, the lesbians know what I'm talking about. You know, iconic lesbian spy movie from 2004. It's so cheesy, so campy, but one of the fucking best like movies ever. And Megan Good is in it. So she's the main lead, Camille, and Camille is this doctor in academia, and she's like struggling to get tenure at this prestigious university, so that's kind of her vibe. I'm gonna go through all of the characters and kind of like what they're about one by one before talking about some more stuff. But speaking of lesbians, we also have Ty, who is played by Jerry Johnson, who in real life actually identifies as queer and like frequently talks about their androgyny and gender fluidity, you know what I mean? Like, so it was really cool to see, and I think I read that Tracy Oliver was like adamant about hiring somebody to play Ty that was queer in real life, so props to that. Ty works in tech and is developing an app for queer women of color, as well as, you know, navigating her own complicated relationships. Next up on the list is Grace Byers, who plays Quinn. And Quinn, you might know from Empire, if you guys were,
yep,
if you guys, yep, put yourselves through that.
Yeah. I did.
Yeah, same. Quinn is a small business owner who comes from money and tends to date dudes who aren't shit, like just such awful taste, constantly on Tinder.
Can we talk about her mom? I just want to throw back to her mom.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Her mom is Whitley from A Different World, and she has the worst Caribbean accent I've ever heard. From in almost every episode, you get a throwback to, like, a 90s sitcom actor, and I was like, Cousin Skeeter. I was like, that's the lady from that show, that from Law and Order SUV. She was the lady who's digging up the bodies in the back, and now she has a job. I love to see it. I'm sorry. Go back to what you're doing.
Yeah, Law and Order SVU, low-key, has, like, everyone who's anybody had an arc on that, like, low-key. Yep.
Got Oscars.
Yeah, if you see somebody on there, like, in 10 years, they're probably going to be in Marvel.
yeah.
Last but not least, the funniest character of all is Angie, who is played by Shaniqua Shondai.
The, like, best.
So good. Fun fact, she voiced Sunstone on Steven Universe. I don't know if you know knew that, but I thought that was so cute. And then Angie, the character, is a singer slash unemployed woman who lives with Quinn, vibes, and often uses her Uber account for shenanigans. So she's definitely, like, the most, like, sexually liberated of them all, like, very sex positive, and, like, also kind of the comedic relief of everything, even though she, of course, has her own serious things to go through. But you know who else is in this, who isn't technically a main character but was very important to me? Whoopi fucking Goldberg.
Yes.
I wasn't expecting that. So in case you guys have been wondering where she's been, she's been and doing Harlem, apparently. She's in this show. She's a professor, and she's, like, above Camille, and she's here to tell Camille something about herself and to be, like, a badass who doesn't want nobody in her house, you know? Like, she's fantastic. She's, yeah, she killed the game in this. But, yeah, anyways, to stick with non-spoilery stuff for a little bit.
Okay.
About this show, what impressed me about Harlem is that, like, it highlighted that shit is complicated. It didn't make everything, like, black and white. And although it had a lot of stuff that could have come off as PSA-ish type of stuff, it didn't quite get there. And, like, it was still entertaining and didn't pull you out and didn't feel cheesy. So, yeah, I really like that this show was able to, like, walk that line, especially, like, with the individual characters. Like, Camille, like, she's this badass in academia with a doctorate and works at Columbia and is killing it on social media. She has all this stuff, but just like the rest of us, she's lusting after her ex, you know what I mean? Like,
who looks like Drake. Ew. No, I mean, Drake looks like
I did not see that.
See the Drake
I did not
versus Lawrence Fishburne's son?
No,
battle?
I
very much saw Lawrence Fishburne's light-skinned son and Drake. And I was like,
oh my God.
Pick Lawrence Fishburne.
I just don't think about Drake, you know what I mean?
No, I feel like Drake thought about him at his plastic surgery office and was like, made me look like him. That's man hilarious. Is fine. I, too, would like to manage T-Mobile. Like,
okay. And then Ty is, like, a badass who has a bunch of money and she can, like, pull any girl at the club. But she's also, like, running away from her past, right? Like, she has her own type of issues. And, like, she was also the awkward new chick in a corporate setting, like we've all been. And then Quinn is rich as fuck. You know what? Like, maybe we can't relate to her quite as much, but, everybody, you know, also she has terrible taste in men and she has mommy issues. Like, that's pretty relatable.
Ooh, very relatable.
They're just like us. Angie's perfect, though. No complaints.
Yeah.
That's a woman.
Yeah.
She's, like, living life to the fullest. And I also wish that I could find love in an Uber. So, I don't know. This show is, like, actually really funny, right? Like, there's a lot of half-hour comedies these days that aren't actually funny. They're just, like, good. But when it gets into the serious topics, like, it gets into it. Like, it gets into, like, medical racism, particularly against, like, women and, like, how their pain isn't taken seriously. They talk about how Black people aren't prescribed certain medications, which actually reminds me of the Nicole Byer stand-up comedy that just came out on Netflix, where she talks about that, how she went to the hospital and they wouldn't prescribe her certain opioid-based, like, medications because like apparent, you know, like because of that, because black people aren't allowed to, but that happens to be the reason why black people have a lower rate of addiction to opioids. And like she talked about in the special, she's like, is racism sometimes good? Which wow, Nicole Byer.
No, I mean, it's real. They don't give you anything and you're just like, you know what, thank you.
You're
like,
just in fucking pain though, like it's awful.
Yeah, I'm like over here like, that's fine.
I mean, like, you know, there's some good things, I guess. But yeah, it, you know, it still proves in general, even that kind of a thing, it proves how much of a problem opioids are because of doctors, because doctors are turning to that for like pain and for all these things and prescribing very highly addictive things. So yeah, I got into that really deeply with one of the characters. I won't say who yet. And then they also get into white women tears during like the production of Get Out the Musical.
Oh my god. I want to see Get Out the Musical.
Funniest bit that I could have ever imagined, turning Get Out into a musical. I could not like stop laughing. That was so funny to me. And I hate musicals and you know this, but I'd probably go.
Fun time. Like it seems like it'd be hilarious for all the wrong reasons.
It was like so self-aware because they were like, Get Out the Musical sounds absolutely awful, and everybody's like, yeah, but everybody would go support anyways. I was like, yeah, that's true.
Some of the things they said were just like so true, and I'm just like, ooh, this, okay, y'all not wrong.
Yeah,
I'm just not gonna say
but
it.
Like, did she lie? Yeah. But that conversation turned into a larger one about within all the characters about what kind of racist bullshit they have to put up with in the workforce, right? And it's like, it's across all fields, like in tech, in academia, in the creative arts, no matter what, like there's some racist bullshit no matter what. So it was good on them for being able to handle those topics like so cleverly and like within a comedic show. So that was really impressive. But to get into the slightly to majorly spoilery stuff, like when it comes to the queer subjects of this story, it won't be that bad. Like you can still watch it. Like it's okay. Obviously we have Ty, who is this mass presenting executive level tech person. Like sometimes I feel like our queer characters are a little repetitive. I don't know if you agree. Like there's always like,
I do.
Either a high-powered executive or like the cool edgy girl who's kind of a mystery. And then there's no in between. I don't know.
I feel like they really made it possible to have like nuance and to have like a black mass presenting lesbian. Like that's fucking cool shit. First off, we don't even get much of that. I mean, what, Queen Latifah was like and Set It Off, and then Watermelon Woman, like, okay,
yeah,
Lena Waithe existing, you know.
There's like that All American has a like a mask character. Yeah, it's pretty rare. So them like flipping this like script that usually belongs to like white lesbians being like high level executives and giving it to her was kind of, yeah, it was nice. Have you seen this new like mini trend? Because they have a whole thing about like Ty's hair in this.
Yes.
But there's this new like mini trend on TikTok where like, you know, it's like someone when they realize that they're gay and the sound is like, why'd you have to go and cut me off? And it's like their hair. Because like every lesbian got to cut off their hair after they come out. Yeah.
That was super cool with Ty and her hair. Like she fully embraced. I mean, she didn't really have a lot, but
she didn't.
You know,
yeah,
what?
She already had short hair.
She already had really short hair. So, to me, I was like, okay, but like, she was already seemed to be cool with her hair being short. But I'll take it, because it was really obvious with the whole wig situation. Her being on Forbes, what, 30 under 30 or some shit.
I don't know, Forbes cover or something.
It was a Forbes cover.
It was a Forbes cover.
But you know, that was really cool. We got to see her be like this fully flawed human being. Who can we get into what she does now? Spoiler.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I also want to like give props to parts of her storyline. Like her first romantic plot line was about her hooking up with another mask woman.
Yeah,
which was like out of the norm for her, and I just thought it was hilarious how they were like tackling those kinds of issues. Yeah. And then it got a little bit more serious when it like came to her falling for a white girl, right?
Oof.
Like, yeah. And we got to, like, see this conversation that I haven't seen very much, especially not with queer women, about how, like, how it is for the black person in an interracial relationship with a white person, because, like, people are looking at them a certain way and being like, really, you know what I mean? So we got to see that, and it was pretty intense.
I liked how honest that was, because I feel like, I mean, the show goes there, and it doesn't feel like, I don't know, I feel like they're actually taking this full world view of something and kind of like going, well, why do you think like that? Like, instead of attacking the idea itself, they go, why do you think like that, though? Let's examine all of it. And I think that's a really unique way to even look at any of these issues. Like, when she was dating the white girl and being scared to tell her friends that she was dating a white girl was really interesting. I think, honestly, like, people of color, like, it's different out here, y'all. Like, when you're non-white and you gotta tell somebody you date somebody white, it's, you gotta tell them, because they'll see it, and then yeah, I mean, you know, love is love, but it's still, it's more complicated than that, actually.
Yeah, in of certain course. Situations, because she was the only one noticing that she was getting the dirty looks, you know. She was the only one that was agonizing about it, and it's like, that's a part of white privilege, right? So like, this, before their relationship even happened, they have a whole conversation about why Ty's app is only for women of color, why it's excluding white women, right? So that whole conversation happens before anything, like, before anything even develops. And, you know, it set it up really well in that way, I think, because it's like, you know why her mindset is going there. Whether or not you agree with her on the things, or, like, whether or not you're like, oh, you should have just, like, if you like her, then why are you making it complicated? Like, you know where her head's at before that, right? Because of this app that she's making, because she's trying to, like, change things for women of color like herself. So, you know, we know that that safe space is important because of those conversations.
Yeah, and just because we're gay doesn't mean, like, there's no,
that's
like,
full stop, yeah.
Yeah, there's definite still racism there. Just because we're all gay here doesn't mean, no, the racism did not stop, unfortunately.
Yeah, I almost, like, I mean, I don't know if this got, I don't think it's got brought up, but it's, like, living in LA especially, like, do you know how many, like, white lesbians out here only date white lesbians? Like, and who's out there calling them out on shit? Like, I don't know, so I don't think it should be, like, judged when you have that kind, if you want that kind of a space, or if you make that kind of a decision. I think it comes from a reasonable place.
Yeah, being excluded from those spaces and not feeling comfortable in those spaces, which is super, I wouldn't feel comfortable in, like, a white lesbian space. No offense. I just wouldn't. I know where I wouldn't feel comfortable, and it's just like, yeah, it's still, like, it's worse. It's like a room full of Karens. It's like, no, it's time to go. I ain't gonna be in here. I don't want no white woman tears.
Like, I try not to generalize, but I will say, like, West Hollywood, for example, is such a white space, and after a while, you start to feel a little bit, like, excluded, you know?
And, so, not, like,
and I'm saying that as a fucking, like, basically white Latina. Like, I'm saying that as me.
Yeah, you as a person, your experiences, same, like, look both of us, but it's more like, it's a cultural divide, really, and the racism doesn't go away, you know, it's still present, you know, so you still feel the presence of being the other, and it's not always, like, sometimes it doesn't matter, sometimes it's a inclusionary space, even if there's a lot of white lesbians there, it still feels
sometimes there's the vibe there to
it's
the rule.
Vibe, you know, it's not all white lesbians, of course, like, but, you know, some of y'all racist, so that's the reason, you know,
whether you agree or not.
Yes,
but with Ty also, you know, we get to, after that, after she just ends that relationship, spoiler alert, we find out that she wasn't always this headstrong, she wasn't always this sure in her decision making, right?
Oof.
Her past comes back to haunt her in the form of her husband, you know, like, like, goddamn, like, it's a hell of a reveal, and everybody goes back, we all go back, like, 5 years, and we see where they were 5 years ago and how far they've come and the place that they were in. So I love a complicated character, and all of these characters are.
Every single one.
including my absolute favorite storyline. It was like a bit of a mini storyline. Quinn, right?
Yes.
The end of it.
Yes.
This is mad spoilery, so please don't listen to the next 30 minutes. Yeah, Quinn's story. Who says that you can't have more than one queer lead? Like, Tracy Oliver, ooh.
I love her. She's and we, as gays, I feel like we felt it from the first scene they interacted in, and I was like, wait a minute, what?
Homegirls are gonna... It was at the arcade. At the arcade, like, it gave me mad, like, imagine me and you vibes, you know, when they're at the arcade. It's just like, it smells like falling in love, baby, like...
No, even before that, when she met her at the mom's, like, luncheon fundraiser thing, meets her, and homegirl's eyes just, like, don't leave her.
They're really? Just, like, I have to rewatch scanning. It, because... Dude. I remember thinking, like, where did this girl come from?
No.
And I guess I was distracted, I don't know.
It was always there. She was always... Me and Glow were, like... I saw it, and I was like, she's giving her the eyes... She's doing this. She gave her the up and down. She did the full body. Anyways, that's just me being like gay and noticing everything.
So. I mean, I noticed like Isabella's like queerness quite easily. I was like, oh, look at her. But yeah, and I love Ty and I love everything that came with her storyline. But I just have a thing for characters who are figuring it out, you know, who are like finding someone who makes them feel something new. You know, like I just love that process. Yeah. So Quinn and Isabella's storyline, you know, like, yeah, it was my favorite thing, like, and then like Quinn, the way that she dealt with it, I thought that was really great because she got past that fighting it stage really fast.
Yeah,
and
really
was
fast.
Just like, yeah, and she was just like, okay, I'm gonna figure this out. I'm giving it a go, and like her little line when she like asked her on a date, she's like, I'm an LGBTQ. I thought that was hilarious, and I just like that she's really honest about everything, right? Even when she's like asking around, she's like honest about everything, and honesty is like my new kink, you know. So just like, just tell the truth, just be honest, like that's all you can do at this point.
I loved it, that storyline is just so cute because I'm just like, I saw this coming. I was hoping it would happen, and then it did happen. And
usually it's one of those things where it's like, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't. And she was like, fuck it. There could be more than one gay person. And, like, honestly, the only thing I would compare this show to is, like, of course the comparisons are going to be there for, like, Insecure and Sex and the City, I think. But this is, like, its own beautiful thing to me. And I love this show so much. And I didn't expect to be so invested in literally even the straight people storylines. Yeah. This hasn't happened to me since Girlfriends. Like, I love Insecure. And I know what it is.
That's what it kind of throws me back to. Yeah, like, back in the day when we had, like, all these shows that were, like, about, like, just black women who are friends with each other. And, like, all the shit they're going through. Like, we just... Like, other than Insecure, when have we had that recently? Like,
not recently. And I love that the show itself is throwing back to, like, black actors that either were in, like, 90s sitcoms. Because they had Richard Rashad, I believe is his name. He was in My Cousin Skeeter, which was, like, a 90s Nickelodeon show. I mean, that takes us back to Megan Good's past. Her, like, black sitcoms in the early 2000s. And... you know, Whoopi being in it, the characters, there's so many characters that I feel like are from episodes, from anything from like early 90s, like black Hollywood, black sitcom world. And I feel like bringing that in and putting this here makes me so fucking happy. Just to see Jasmine Guy as Quinn's mom, I'm just like,
yeah, it had the vibes of like, like everybody is putting somebody on, you know, like everybody knows somebody from something, and you're not just getting people only from like the audition tapes. You're like, oh, I know a person who did this show and they fucking killed it, or like this is my homie, or like I was such a fan when I was young, you know. It just had that vibe and it was fantastic.
Yeah, it made me so happy. And you know, centering these women's lives and not just trauma, like they're talking about gentrification and kind of like the fake woke activists on Twitter vibe / the real activists in the real world vibe. I love that too. Where it was like, you know, the lead, Megan Good's character, is not like this perfect human. She's very deeply flawed, and she's very much getting her shit together, as you said, all of them are. And I love, like, that all of them kind of really go in on each other in this very, like, almost, like, sisterly way. They're bond with each other, and it's just, like, we need that right now. We need something that brings us joy, something that's just, like, it's raunchy, but not that raunchy, because episode one was kind of, like, they're kind of, like, vanilla sexing it up, but it's fine. I don't think that's, like, maybe... I think that's the only time I thought they were a little off.
Really? I don't know.
You know, yeah. It's the dude sex scene, but I was just kind of like, oh. Huh? That's a weird thing for straight women to say, I would think. You know, I was like, I thought straight women were a little more... Okay, whatever. I thought y'all liked dudes, you know?
Wait, what did they say? I forget.
Okay, so they made this whole thing about not eating, like, butt, and, like, I was just like, wait.
Yeah, I remember that, when I remember that student thing.
Yeah, I was like, that's very, like, old millennial thought. I didn't think, like, we thought like that. But I was like, I don't know what straight girls do, but even the gay girl was like, I don't do that. And I was like, okay. I was just like, okay, that's kind of like kink shaming for people our age, you know? Because I was like, people some our age stuff, are kind of...
Yeah, it wasn't like 100% like on the super wave of like hella wokeness, but it was way more woke than most shows, you know? Like,
oh God, or whatever. The, like, they don't even bring in the topic because they don't even know how to talk about it. But in this show, they fucking know how to talk about everything. And I think that's, wow, chef's kiss. Like,
yeah.
I love this. I love this show so much.
I don't know how more people want to talk about it. Like, I know that Sex and the City just came out and, like, everybody's talking about it. But it's... And, like, it is doing some cool stuff, right? Like, every fucking new character that they brought in Sex and the City is, like, queer or non-binary or a person of color. Like, they're trying really hard to, like, distract from the fact that they have three white leads. But, Harlem fulfills everything that needs. Yeah. Like, everything.
Everything. You don't have to watch Sex and the City if you watch Harlem. I mean, yeah. You can if you want to, but now my will, like, I'm probably going to watch it after the fact and like it, but it's doing what, I mean, I'm just waiting for Harlem to come back, honestly. I love this show. I love how it works. It's very, like, telenovela almost. Like, it gets into these really funny, like, moments, and I think, you know, in comparing it to what else is on right now, I feel like it's doing it better, honestly. And it's giving me something a little bit more traditional, more something that, you know, takes me back to, like, I don't know, what I grew up watching versus the very stylized things of now, you know, or talking about trauma. You know, they didn't really talk about trauma in the early 2000s. It was nice. People just got to be happy.
Yeah, definitely. Like, this is one way to, like, bring something, like, that was amazing back then into a current day, you know? So, super props. No cafecitos on my end. I thought it was fantastic. I couldn't wait to, go back to watching it, you know.
Yeah.
With after
Five
panuses. Episode.
Five panuses. It's, to me...
One solid show.
One hot take I'm going to have. I like it more than Insecure. But also, they're actually gay on this show. So...
Yeah. I've been watching... Like, I caught up on Insecure finally. And it's been a great season and everything. But, yeah, I'm a little... a lot more interested in Harlem.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Insecure is very straight, and it always has been, and that's not, you know, it does what it knows.
Its comedy is, like, so much more fine-tuned, and the drama, like, has had so much time to simmer, but considering it's on, like, however many seasons in, like, that's to be expected, right? Like, Harlem is on season one, and it's killing the game this hard, so.
Killing, because you go in not knowing, and then you're just like, I'm gonna keep watching. This is great.
Yeah.
So not many shows have that effect right now on me. So definitely not Tampa Bay's. Oh Lord. But Five Bundles says everyone go watch fucking Harlem right now. Whatever
right
you're
now.
Doing right now.
Right now.
And
after you listen to our outro, right now. Right now. All right, let's do some Patreon shout outs. You want to go first?
Yes, I would love to go first. So shout out to the Patreon people. We love you so much, and thank you so much for sticking around and keeping these lights on. So shout out to Mercedes. That's a new name. Hi, Mercedes. thanks for being in my Patreon. That's cool. Shout out Joe. What's good, Joe? I love you. Keep doing your tech stuff. You're when I need it, you're always there for it. Shout out Marisa. Shout out. I feel like, is that new? I don't know. I don't know where I am, girl. But thank you, or person. I don't know your pronouns. Shout out Valerie. What's good, Valerie? How you been? Shout out R. You know, R, I think I did your chart. You are a Libra. You're born. Yeah, just, I might email it to you. Shout out Michelle. Shout out Rosaura. Shout out to our brother Vettel. Shout out to Glow. Shout out to Marimar. And shout out Rasi. Love y'all so much. Thanks so much for the support. Y'all are the best.
Shout out. And also shout out to Myron and to Margarita. We have a lot of M's on our list. Okay. Shout out to Favi. I miss you so much. shout out to baby Jojo Negoro and to Edith, longtime listener. Yeah, super. I'm a fan of you. Mireya, shout out to you. Cafecito Gang, Chris, Noel, Alicia, all like old school Cafecito Gangs. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting us. We have a new fun episode coming soon to Patreon. If you guys want to listen to it, join us at patreon.com/CYC podcast. To help keep the lights on this Christmas.
We're a little bit more real on there. We're a little less censored. So we're a lot less censored.
but yeah, thank you everybody for supporting. I hope that that you guys are going to have a good break. Hopefully you're getting a break at all for the holidays. Yeah. And can't wait to see you guys on the other side. And yeah. We have shirts and stuff available if you want to get some Christmas gifts. We have sweaters and coffee cups on Teespring. Links in our bio and in the description. So, yeah, thank you guys for supporting. Thank you guys for a great year. I know it's been a little spotty, but you guys stuck around and we really appreciate that.
Yeah, we love y'all and see y'all in 2022. What's good? Bye, y'all. Bye.